59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with Music and the Truth Until Dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
We're back. We're live. Patriot Power Hour. Thanks for joining us, everybody. July 31st, 2019, episode 64. Ben, the breaker of banksters. Here with another episode of Patriot Power Hour. Future Dan, my co-host, to my left. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. The Fed cut a quarter point, just like you called.
I did. You know, I was thinking, maybe they'll go for half a point, you know, 0.50. But I was like, I think they're just going to go with 0.25. But they did. And that's the first time they've cut rates, and I don't have the time right in front of me, but geez, 8-10 years, like a decade since they've cut rates, because they pretty much had rock bottom. And raised it 8 times, but only a quarter each time. So that's 2% if you do the math. And now we're back down 1/4. So there's still got 7 more to go to get down to that rock bottom. But you got to realize, as I always say, the normal long-term historical rate and the one that kind of makes more sense mathematically, if you look at the math and the science, is maybe 4%.
Right.
So we were at 2, 2.5. Now we're going down again. And that's just going to lead to more malinvestment. But maybe some short-term stimulus. I don't know. It might be squeezed dry, though, too.
Think it'd be malinvestment?
It's already – the interest rates are so low already that there is natural malinvestment going on.
Right.
And the economy is not allowed anymore to go into a recession to clear some of the imbalances that just occur. There's imbalances in malinvestment even, no matter what the interest rate is, right? And it's supposed to clear itself through bankruptcy and recessions, but then bounce back stronger than ever like a, you know, like a farmer's field, right? But no, they don't let it. Don't let the field lie fallow anymore.
No fallow fields, yeah. So the president's argument throughout this, and Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Fed, is obviously a Trump pick who's, you know, on many occasions had to assert that he's independent of the executive branch, the United States government, but nevertheless did exactly what President Trump wanted him to do. And the question is Trump guiding Fed policy directly now? And should he not be able to, because not raising rates for throughout the Obama presidency kept that miserable economy on life support? I'm sure you'll agree. But Trump's making a case that, you know, because of the way our trade adversaries practice currency manipulation, that it's only rightful that we operate. It's stupid not to operate this way. He looks at interest rate setting by the Fed as a very much a trade instrument. Is there any there?
There is some politicalness to it. I think obviously in the decision, they didn't want to get totally canned, right? They didn't want to get fired straight up.
Okay.
Some politicalness in this equation. Look, if you look at the actual – what Powell said today, and I actually was able to listen to some of it even though I was at work – he said that this is a mid-cycle correction, meaning they're not planning to lower rates 4, 5, 6 times consecutively. Maybe one more time this year, and maybe once next year at most is kind of what.
But who cares what they're playing if the president's telling them what to do for trade policy? Is he right that we're gaining an advantage by doing this? How'd the dollar do compared to it?
The dollar is going up because Powell said we're not going to drop it. It's not the politicalness is not going to overtake our mandate, quote unquote, of the Fed. We are not going to reverse course and bring it down to 0% like Trump would like to see. This was just we kind of caved in a little bit to Trump, so we won't lose our jobs, but we're not going to go with what he wants, is what they signaled today. Thus, the U.S. dollar actually has been spiking, and you saw it wasn't a huge correction at all, but the Dow Jones, reacted pretty quickly and dropped 200-300 points. But again, that's like a percent or less. So
every time we mention point totals of losses in the Dow, they're inflating because 300 points is a fraction of a fraction of a percent of the entire exchange now.
Right, it used to be.
It's going to take 8, 9, 1300. 1,800,
exactly.
3-day streaks of a 2,000 loss to even actually be a panic.
But if you look at I absolutely agree. It's very minimal. But I guess what I'm saying is the market, for its infinite wisdom or lack thereof, I don't know, believe that the Fed is going to, hold rates probably where it is now, or possibly a little more, one more cut, and that they're not going to cave into the politicalness and cut it 3-4 times per year for the next year and a half, 2 years, like Trump would like to see, back to zero. You got to remember, if he's talking about Bank of Japan and ECB, European Central Bank, then yeah, they are essentially at zero and in a way even negative interest rates. So we are higher than them. So it is a unfair advantage, but is it really? What's the advantage? We can buy more of their crap for cheaper. Is that the crux of the problem here? Or do we need some savings and proper investment that higher interest rates spur to fix the economy? Or do we need to just be able to, continue to buy cheap crap at Walmart,
Yeah.
That's what he wants to see. If he sees that, then the number's going to go up. Amazon's going to go up because all that made in Chinese crap is going to be cheap still. And people will be using Amazon. Da, 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 da. That's not going to – that doesn't mean 5-10 years from now it's going to be real economic growth, though. You got to look at that type of – now everyone's just looking quarter to quarter. At most election cycle to election cycle, but usually,
no doubt.
Yeah. So there's a lot of facets to it.
The first rate cut, funds rate cut since December 16th, 2008.
So longer than I thought. 11. I think I said like 8 or 9 years, 11 years. So this is a very, we called it last week. I was like, oh, guess what? Next Wednesday, this is going to be the 31st. It's Fed day. And I think it's going to be the first time. Now, we got to remember the market priced in 100% chance that they were going to cut rates, so it's not a surprise.
Fed day. Pathetic, yeah.
I know.
A lot of people actually know what that means now.
I know. Well, that is interesting. Since 2008, since Bear Stearns and TARP and quantitative easing and all the bailouts, all that garbage, right? A lot more people, even the learned elite, quote-unquote CNBC watchers, your average – $200,000 a year businessman who thinks they're all into the news and really know what they're doing. They know what the Fed is now. Before they didn't really, or they might. Oh yeah, Volcker. Everyone, Volcker, Greenspan. So there was they knew what was going on, but now it's like a celebrity show. It's a rollout. CNBC in my company cafeteria was on in the big screen, and it said countdown to Fed decision.
It's a pregame.
It's
like a college basketball game.
Reality show. So we got some fireworks today, but again, it was expected. And some people are like, oh, maybe they're not. Yeah. We'll see what actually happens. Now, what I want to get to, we talked about the politicalness. Now let's talk about the banksterism involved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the fact that mathematically, they actually cannot keep rates this high. It's just going to quicken the demise of the system. And they want to keep it as long as possible. They don't want to kill the golden goose. They want to at least prepare to buy the golden goose for pennies on the dollar during the collapse. But with these rates so high, it's just going to grind things down. So they want it to go down, the banksters themselves. So, in this, coincidence or otherwise, Trump and Powell are together. They kind of want it to go down, but there's infighting, and it's a very complicated situation.
Yeah, so how would you rate it as a piece of news for the heat map?
I would say it's probably a yellow to maybe an orange, right?
Really? That severe?
Yeah, well, I just think, maybe I'm biased, but the fact that they've officially reversed course on interest rate hikes means that we're not out of the event horizon.
Yeah.
So I've always called it the black hole of debt, and this comes right full circle, I guess. You know, we're right next to the event horizon, right next to the, you know, singularity. We kind of slingshot around, and we're getting away, trying to pull away. Now we're freaking falling back into the abyss.
Wow.
Rates are not going back to 4% ever.
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 In your life.
Maybe a new system. You know, a new system comes out. You know, who knows? This particular iteration of the central banking system and, you know, Bretton Woods and the petrodollar. In particular, let's just call it the petrodollar system. It's not going to go back to the normal interest rates with the current, you know, unless we default and then kind of start over, quote unquote.
It seems on a global economic financial system scale, there's nothing that can replace the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency because there's malfeasance in financial management of all countries on earth.
So what people... This is where kind of good and evil might unite. And I don't know where it's going to represent. Really, it's technology, so it's supposed to be agnostic. What if they have a worldwide basket of currencies that is governed, and that's the backing, and through a blockchain technology, there's a, you know, global world currency. Think of Libra, but actually like sponsored by all the governments in the UN or whatever iteration, World Bank, IMF, everyone's like, look, the U.S. dollar will be worth 30% of this basket. The euro, 15%. The yen, 10%. So, and we'll kind of divvy it out. Maybe even invite China into it. And this new system will be blockchain-based, so it will be accountable. If you, you know, if you believe the total infallibility of that, but that will, at, for the average American, that would be a horrible thing because, guess what? The dollar would not be the reserve currency anymore. We would be, you know, in the same basket as everyone else, and that would probably double the price of gasoline, at least.
It would certainly level the playing field in international trade if everything priced on the planet had the same price in one currency. But my question to you is, what about those who would say, now you're going to have to wear some retinal implant and look into machines that will measure your complete worth an instant all the time in this blockchain currency.
Yeah, well, you'll have a social profile that's blockchain and infallible, and it'll go on your permanent record, literally. You remember, I remember always growing up, like the sitcoms of the 80s and 90s that I'd watch. It'd be like, it's going on your permanent record in high school or whatever.
Now there really would be one. That would be permanent. If blockchain can protect wealth value, it can also record all your spending habits ever.
And you got to remember, there's different types of crypto. We're not going down this hole right now, mostly because the break's coming up. But you know, there is true decentralized blockchain that is much more trustworthy. But there is like blockchain technology, but still there is kind of that middleman or clearinghouse that can still manipulate it and maybe plant something on your permanent record. Then you get into some of the some of the sci-fi movies out there where they, from Blade Runner to freaking all of them, you know. So anyway, all right, music is playing.
All new music. Three new Master Block breaks for the audience. Listen up.
Do enjoy for Season 7, Episodes 4 and beyond.
All new Season 7.
Patriot Power Hour. Pursuing news for the prepared. That's the mission of FutureDanger.com, an American news link heat map that allows users to achieve situational awareness across numerous indicators and topics, all with just one handy dashboard. This has been the breaker of Bankster's Cochrane, and hey, if you've listened to Patriot Power Hour, you know how useful FutureDanger.com has been for our show. Not only does Future Danger list, categorize, and rate dozens of articles each week, Future Danger also allows us to dive deep into the historical archives, empowering analysts and news hounds alike, heck, even some talk radio hosts, to discover trends, better prepare their families, and really just get ready for hardships to come. The Future Danger Dashboard and Patriot Power Hour, teaming up to bring the latest liberty, security, economic, and natural news to the people.
Stay right here for more of the Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
What if you're not back by the time the engines have cooled?
Why do you keep moving?
What do you suppose he's gonna do?
Retaliate first.
Welcome back to Patriot Power Hour, episode 64. This is the last day of July 2019, 31st. Here's your segment 2, News Blitz Krieg, column 1. More Russiagate, Ben. We got the AG originating a probe, and it's pivoting and looking at what are supposed to be smoking gun tapes, that's the quote, of exculpatory evidence that is under normal practices with the FISA court must be presented by the government to allow the judges to decide if a warrant is warranted. Of course, it's not an adversarial system like common law in that courts that we know. Therefore, if they don't give the exculpatory evidence, no one can. And apparently, the AG is going to or the president's going to declassify some of this information. Is going to show how badly the FISA court was corrupted by senior executive branch judicial officials. All right. We also got secret text from the fired FBI deputy director, McCabe, to a British counterpart coming out today and essentially peeling back the onion on the involvement of foreign governments, foreign nationals in the entire Russiagate. So that's what's breaking on that front. Not huge news. Okay. Epstein news. All right. Lolita Express, Jeffrey Epstein, billionaire pedophile's nicknamed aircraft where he had bedrooms and could take underage sex trafficked women to whoever, wherever. The pilots are getting subpoenaed, so they're going to be talking. We got a Florida state senator who's been threatened or claims to have been warned, implying her life, to back off exactly how in South Florida Epstein got such a sweetheart deal the first go around. And the British tabloids are running away with this. You know, there's words coming out that Epstein's life is in jeopardy. It's apparently attempted suicide last week. Powerful pals don't want their secrets out. So we just wait and watch on the Epstein pedophile front, what instability that brings to our system, or what cathartic outcome it could also be. British spies at the Five Eyes Summit. You know what the Five Eyes Summit is, Ben?
No.
Five Eyes is U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the Five Eyes. And they have a level of intelligence sharing that's it's by agreement. They're called the Five Eyes. The British at the summit are demanding social media backdoors, Instagram, Facebook, all of it. You spoke about it earlier. We can probably get into that later again. But in Britain, there is no question that an island that produced the tyranny that produced this free country has a spy establishment that, without any doubt, wants full access to see anything anybody wrote through social media. And they're pushing it our way, right, because of the Five Eyes arrangement. And we have in column two, that's it for column one, column two, Israel tests a missile defense system using U.S. assets in cooperation with the United States Air Force in Alaska. They're attempting to see what they can shoot down. Meanwhile, the Iranians are testing their ballistic missiles. So that's a head-to-head arms race, and we watch that news. China publishes its outline for how to fight and win space war. That's up on Future Danger. The alleged mastermind of 9/11, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, could, according to one report, blow the Saudi role wide open. And there's lawsuit testimony coming up in some facet that's going to probably subpoena Muhammad to, you know, in his documents and his statements. Whether that goes anywhere in the courts, who knows? But the Saudis' role in that has been very suspect for a very long time, and you continue to see reports like that. In China, Hong Kong, police deployed tear gas and rubber bullets again throughout downtown Hong Kong. Those protests about bills that would extradite Hong Kong citizens to the mainland to stand trial. That it's a massive, nameless, leaderless, persistent street revolt, really. And now they're using tear gas and rubber bullets again, but outside of Hong Kong, like I said, one or two episodes of Patriot Power ago.
We've been covering this for more than a month, and it keeps escalating every time.
We're seeing news reports that, you know, the conventional army gearing up to be able to come in and crush rebellion. And you got to keep your eye out for another Tiananmen in that country. All right. U.S. sailed a Navy cruiser through the Taiwan Strait. We talked about it last week. It's now revealed that a giant Chinese spy drone had tailed it. So that's the cat and mouse going on in the Western Pacific. War with China is we keep an eye on it. All right. China imposes a partial travel ban on Taiwan as well, which is another sending signals, veiled diplomacy of strategic concern. Like, we're not going to put we're not going to allow our people to travel to your city or to your island. The idea would be, well, if they got to the point where none of their citizens are, they're all banned from traveling, it's because we're about to strike the place, right? So it's not a high level indicator, but it is the kind of thing that's a precursor in the zero phase, as so they say, ahead of war. North Korea is firing more projectiles. We're keeping that green. Seems like a desperate move by the dictator to get Trump to talk to him again. They've all been small. They're not shooting them over Japan anymore, but that could all change. We've had a slew of asteroids fly within the distance of the Earth and the Moon. Obviously, none of them hit. Obviously, I'm far away. But some of them were relatively large, like 50 to 150 meters. They would kill a city, and they are getting detected with less than 24-hour notice,
yeah,
by the way. Mm-hmm. So although they're flying 46,000 miles away from the Earth and could not harm anything, and it's obvious as soon as we find them that they're not on trajectory to kill a city – we're still finding them within 17 hours of them passing. So very short lead to prepare yourself if one day you hear the news that it's coming. All right. Ebola outbreak, unstoppable in the Congo. Victims refusing treatment. That's a mess down there. It's pretty close to the largest Ebola outbreak ever. Earthquakes, volcanoes, superbugs. Read them all on Future Danger Column 4. Then, now, in economic news, first rate cut since 2008. Talked about it in segment one. We can get right back to that and what it means. IRS is sending warning letters to over 10,000 cryptocurrency investors.
Oh, no.
Segment two, my co-host is going to read his from the IRS to the audience.
No,
Citi fires hundreds of traders then. Revenue tumbling. Federal government debt binge puts treasury auctions on a path to new highs.
Woo-hoo.
And federal borrowing soars as deficit fears fade in Washington, D.C. They don't care. That's it. That's your column three. That's column one, two, three. That's the heat map,
man,
for the last day of July 2019. Which what really comes at you is pertinent.
Like, there's like five, at least five that I was looking at. And while you're talking, I'm like, okay, I got to talk about this one. I got about this one.
Yep.
I got to talk about this one. And this one, there's like at least four or five. And I'm doing a bad job of covering them. We're running low. I got about 5 minutes. Hell, let's try to do one a minute. Might as well.
Yeah.
The asteroids.
Okay. I thought it was going to be economic.
We'll cover that, you know.
Sort of mundane.
I love the news blitz because it gets me out of my economic bias, and I can really talk about a lot of different things. Whatever. Point is, I read a lot about these asteroids that were kind of – this one in particular that was a near miss, very close, even though it sounds like it's, 50,000 miles, whatever, city killer. What happens is these come out from the sun.
Yeah.
So you can't see them coming.
Like, backdoor.
Right? So if you ever played baseball or softball or whatever and you're trying to catch a fly ball and it's coming from the sun, I mean, there's a chance you're going to totally miss it and get hit you right in the face. We've been lucky. But these things hit. I think this one was equivalent to the one that hit in Siberia Maybe it was even the one people that know about asteroid hits remember the one from Russia from like a decade ago or so.
Yes.
I think it was at least that big. And if that hit in the middle of Manhattan, you know, there'd be a million plus dead instantly, probably like 10 million. Obviously, odds it's going to hit in the ocean, tsunami potentially, that's a problem. So, we live in this world, it's dangerous, not much we can do about it, especially with 24-hour notice or even like an hour or two notice potentially. I'm big on space exploration so we can improve our chances. One reason I would like to invest in that. But that's kind of scary.
So we got a quote from a scientist.
Okay.
He's saying people are sort of realizing what happened pretty much after it's already flung past us.
Man.
So if one of these plunks into the Atlantic Ocean 100 miles off of New York City, come to future danger because you might have had 12 hours notice that something was awry. There will be people screaming about it.
Exactly.
But I would never trust the mainstream media all the way through Fox to do anything more than kind of obfuscate. And while government was immediately paralyzed, the Katrina, Louisiana, and New Orleans governmental response of deer in a headlight could happen on a global scale while one of these came in.
Definitely. And again, this is just a quote-unquote just the city killer. Imagine if it's dinosaur killer or somewhere in between.
So that's number one.
They're not going to be telling us.
What else jumps out at you?
Number one. Number two was the Epstein again. And I am worried that he's going to get freaking knocked off. I'm not worried he's going to commit suicide. I'm worried he's going to be, fake suicide.
Yeah.
Suicided.
Suicided.
Maybe by the Clintons. They're good at suiciding.
Clinton body watch. Clinton body count.
So I don't want that to happen. Definitely Hong Kong I wanted to cover. We can talk about these at length, of course, after the break. But Hong Kong, we've been talking about. I think we picked it up pretty early in the news cycle relative. For the average Americans, we were on top of it more quickly. I'm sure the people in Hong Kong are aware of it when there's a million of them in their streets before you and I were. But we've been covering this for like 2 months maybe, and it's been escalating. So
yeah.
Let's move into that.
Ever since the riot police were necessary, I've been watching it.
Yep. So I think we'll see. The Chinese forces gathering, I don't know if they're going to do their absolute best not to do Tiananmen Square, but also they're totalitarian, and those type of regimes, sometimes they just snap.
Could the globalists in Congress who want open and free pillaging of the Chinese by our economy to continue stay silent amid what would obviously be calls for an entire economic boycott of the country if they were to slay dozens of people?
Yeah, I think the new paradigm is they are friends of China and enemies of America.
How would they catch anybody of that class in a real bind.
Oh, yeah.
Politically.
I think they want to continue to transfer the power and the technology to China. So they want to contain. They would much rather the Hong Kong protesters just go to sleep and everything's fine. So that's why they haven't cracked down yet, but now, they're starting to run out of patience. We'll see. All right. Here's the music. We'll be back. Patriot Power Hour.
Fire and wind come from the sky, from the gods of the sky. But Crum is your god. Crum, and he lives in the earth. Once giants lived in the earth, Conan. And in the darkness of chaos, they fooled Crum. And they took from him the enigma of steel. Crum was angered, and the earth shook. And fire and wind struck down these giants, and they threw their bodies into the waters. But in their rage, the gods forgot the secret of steel and left it on the battlefield. And we who found it are just men. Not gods, not giants. Just men. And the secret of steel has always carried with it a mystery. You must learn it, little Conan. You must learn its discipline. For no one in this world can you trust. Not men, not women, not beasts. This you can trust.
You-
listening to the Patriot Broadcasting Network, sponsored by ReadyMadeResources.com.
We're back. Episode 64 of Patriot Power Hour.
More reaction to the heat map news. What else you had? You only did two of five.
I know. The heat wave, we actually didn't even really talk about it, but it is on the heat map. Well, actually, so first let's start with
109 degrees.
A general thought of the heat map. It's one of the busiest heat maps we've seen in a while. A lot of greens, but for being the end of July and kind of the doldrums of summer, we're getting a lot of hits out there, a lot of stuff going on. So that was kind of a general thought I wanted to get out there as well. We get into the economics now, I guess. Most of the rest were economics. You know, the IRS sending warning letters to cryptocurrency investors. That's funny in a way. But you got to remember, these things are recorded in time. So, example, you have a FDIC-insured bank that you use, and you transfer funds to Coinbase using that, you know, routing and account number. That is permanent, and it's in Coinbase's records, and they have been forced to, and have, they fought it, and they didn't have to give all the records of everybody, but after over a certain level of transactions for know your customer and anti-money laundering and all that, they, you know, say, okay, IRS or whoever, FBI, I'm sure, and whoever, I'm sure there's times we haven't even heard of it, where we'll hand it over. And that is associated with your transaction, which they can find your public Bitcoin wallet address that was associated with that purchase. And if you send it to four or five of your own wallets, well, there are ways to send it to yourself and mask it thereafter, but most people don't know how to do that. And even then, there's ways to reverse engineer. So point is, crypto is not totally able to get away from the IRS to some degree, and they got, you know, they're sending those letters out. What are they going to do if people don't pay up? That's another issue. But they consider it property, and it is taxed either at long term gain, you know, capital gains, or short term gains. So if you hold on to it for 1 year, let's say you buy one Bitcoin, 1 year later or after you sell it, you have to pay 15% tax. And by the way, selling it, you could, you know, send someone a Bitcoin for a brand new, I don't know, whatever the hell. You spend it. Just spend it. When you spend it, they consider that selling it. They think that's like considered selling a baseball card and, you know, or bartering a baseball card in exchange for a new car. Let's say like Babe Ruth or something. You're like, here's a card. You're giving me this. It's like selling property. It's not currency is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. So the way Asian armies fought World War II and into Korea was on occasion these communist masses would bring just peasant armies forward against modern Western troops, and the first wave would be sent with the hand weapons and maybe some older firearms, and the second one would be better, and then the elite troops would be behind that. Also, another vivid image might be like a German machine gunner on Omaha Beach, right? We were going to bring so many at you that you can't get them all. So right now the IRS is dealing with this, and the way to curb the ability of IRS to enforce it is to just not resource IRS. The same goes for income taxes, right? So clearly, when administrations like the one we have now come into power, the IRS is hamstrung, and clearly when the opposite types of administrations, the 44th president and most likely the 46th president, when those people are in charge, IRS is really plussed up and they just hunt everybody down.
Yeah.
So it's like a ticking clock. Are you going to get shot on the beach before you make it to the sandbank? And once you're up on the sandbank, can they ever trace back to it?
Well, that's the thing. We're living in a new paradigm where they can go back in time. They can store all this data, and it's not actionable now, but in 10, 20 years, they might be like, look, we got this proof, and you owe back taxes and penalties from 2019.
Yeah.
Totally. And they got guns and stuff. So what are you going to do? But you're right. Like, they could data mine this. They probably do. And they already know that I own cryptocurrency. The good news is I've actually lost a little bit of money selling some this year net. So I have I can write that off.
You don't write off. You sell out. You're in the system if you're thinking that way.
But I don't freaking report it. And hey, maybe they'll listen to this and data mine this and then put me on a list someday. But I'm already on a list or two probably. Regardless, yes, be one of those marching on the Omaha beach and just keep moving. Don't freaking bow to the IRS in this regard. It's criminal, in my opinion. Anyway, all right.
What else on the heat map was really stringing you out this week?
I am relatively agitated this week. I think it's because I have a longer commute now and driving traffic. Definitely one to make you agitated. those were the main ones. Let me look real quick here. The heat wave, just thought it was really hot. It's been hot lately, but
that's France.
They had like 109.4 degrees. They did have a heat wave a few days ago. They've had several, actually. We've had, where I live here in Northern Virginia, we had like one day, maybe two, where it touched 100 degrees Fahrenheit. There's been, many 90 plus and even 95. But it's freaking summer. And if it is climate change, I don't think paying Al Gore and friends taxes is going to, lower the freaking temperature. Okay. So
the sad part about it is without, it's almost reflective now. Whenever it's hot out or whenever it's stormy out, you got to try to defend against your belief system that a harmful man-made climate change exists, and you always have to argue against it. I don't accept that premise. When we see heat waves like that, it's just like, keep an eye out, because it could be like an earthquake or a flood. If a country gets really stressed by something that's unprecedented, like, these things killed dozens of people, but what if it was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and you couldn't go outside and the country shut down?
Power went out, and
compiles? What domino does that become?
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. And that domino might not even be manifest for 3 or 5, 10 years, type of thing, too. Of course, power outages is probably the biggest, direct cause of a major heat wave. We've seen some this summer in the U.S., let alone in foreign countries. So if you had power out for a day plus in Chicago, New York, or any major city, no power, no air conditioning for a day plus, 3 days, and it was 100 plus degrees, you would have maybe thousands die, mostly elderly, of course. But I think you might even start, people might start losing their stuff. Might have some major civil issues as well.
Right. I don't know about thousands, but, I think our country is relatively immune to this. We have a pretty solid electrical grid system. True. But what if we had a power outage nationwide simultaneous to this stuff?
Yeah, I'm assuming a power outage, like three plus days in a major metropolitan with more than a million people. 3 days no electricity because the heat wave, for whatever reason, or a cyber attack at that time kind of timed up well. Who knows? But, it could be very, big deal. So that's one thing that Future Danger I really like about it. You can watch those type of that. You don't really cover that. The only time you see that stuff is on CNN, and it's a bunch of, propaganda anyway. So get some real news on Future Danger about natural events.
Absolutely. So, got some good new prepper articles up in Prepping Advisory.
Actually, that was going to be one I was going to bring up. That was kind of my last one. I was looking at the bug in versus bug out equation.
Yeah. So, if you want to pivot the show's topics in the middle of the third segment towards some topics that we talk about, right? We are oriented towards the preparedness community, just to put it mildly.
I got to see the audit.
But what you don't hear on Bidget Power is like how to rub sticks together for fire and can water or the how-tos. There's so many sites that are awesome at that. But some of these articles are coming out of sites that predominantly that's the news stream for preparedness, right?
Right.
The prepper community is the how-to world. But sometimes it gets to the strategic level of how do you go about organizing yourself. And so we carry that at Future Danger. And in addition to basically, I'd like to put any situational awareness type article up. Most of the times from this community, it's when you're on the street, when you're in a crowd, when you're in a house, when you're in the woods, when wherever you are, how to maintain situational awareness as opposed to future danger, which is the macro of the macro.
Right.
All 500 indicators worldwide and in all possible conceivable ways that could bring about disaster and ruin. That's a situational awareness. But we got a great article here about, you know, exercises to run through. I get this got sent by a future danger follower,
okay.
a user of the heat map.
Nice.
And it's a good article. We're going to get into segment two.
That's cool.
Segment four.
Yeah.
But to carry this one out, I wanted to run by you this thing called the bug out equation.
Okay. I saw this. This is one that caught my eye.
And being mathematically oriented with a master's degree in finance, this is off of a website, timgamble.com.
Yeah.
Tim Gamble, written by, and it really works like this. All right. So if the danger of staying at home exceeds the danger of two factors, traveling to,
right,
plus staying at the remote location, you're going to bug out. If the danger of traveling to plus the danger of staying at a remote location is greater than staying at home, you're going to bug in. And
makes
that it, the article is brilliant because it puts to end the should you bug out, should you bug in. This is the most rational explanation I've ever seen. So I want to just hit that, put a little plug out there for this great website and run it past you because it's an equation. It's two equations.
It makes sense because you're not just looking at, well, the way he actually put it is mathematical. It was if A is greater than B and C, perform D. If A is less than B or C, perform E.
Which are the variables I already
exactly. And that is like a very basic logical tenet. You know, it's one of those type of, I'm not saying the Greeks invented it, but that's the type of logic sense that they would be using. And if you studied logic in school or whatever, you learn stuff like that. Point is, translate that into bug in versus bug out. It's perfect. I would go so far as to say you need to put a time constraint on it as well. So,
yes, there's the dimension of time and that in the short term danger of staying at home versus the long term.
Right.
And whether traveling to staying at, if it's potentially higher danger now, what if in a matter of weeks it's impossible?
Right.
It's just not even
on the equation, it just goes right off the
then
map.
You're just stuck with whatever that danger at home was, right?
Right. And you got to think of that. And then you got to say, okay, if this event only lasts for 1 week, then, you know, one thing. But if it lasts 3 months, then maybe that changes the equation.
Right.
But maybe it will only be 1 week. So you have to be kind of aligned, or at least hope you have some good information.
But the people that are unprepared in mass population centers, once they stop getting service, food, water, electricity,
right?
It's proverbial golden horde. And when that event happens and they all flee the cities, is the myth goes that if you're in the way of that, it's the worst of all worlds.
Makes sense. I mean, I personally get to work a little later in the morning and leave a little later in the afternoon to beat rush hour. You know, another basic tenet of just avoiding the crowds. Of course, sometimes things happen. There's accidents, construction, and it's not like there's no traffic. Even in the middle of the night, there's traffic around here sometimes. But yeah, you got to do that. You got to try to think ahead, and obviously.
Well, that's the difference between commuting and bugging out.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. If you're in that massive horde, and then you know, they start.
There's no
food,
after. There's no after
trouble.
That. There's no after.
Yeah.
There's no coming in after.
All right, folks. There's some music. We're gonna be leaving.
Achieve situational awareness.
Bye.
Be prepared. Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Atlas! Atlas! 3 weeks from now, I will be harvesting my crops. Imagine where you will be. And it will be so. Hold the line. Stay with me. If you find yourself alone, riding in green fields with the sun on your face, do not be troubled. For you are in Elysium, and you're already dead! Brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by ReadyMade Resources and fueled by FutureDanger.com.
I am a real American, fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American, fight for what's right, fight for your life.
Yeah, we're real Americans. Hulk Hogan would be proud here at the Patriot Power Hour. Episode 64, final segment. We talked about the Fed cut in the first segment. Went through the news blitz in the second and third. Started going down a prepper rabbit hole, but in a good way. Talking about the bug in versus bug out equation and maybe even some ways to improve your situational awareness and planning. So where are you taking us here, Future Dan?
Yeah, this is sent to me by a fellow plugging an article that he thought would fit, and so took a look and it did, so it's in the prepping advisory. Usually keep articles there for a month or so. From securityadvisor.net, getting practical self-awareness. Now, I can't go through this line by line, but what I will do is just kind of preview it. He's going to talk in this about, you know, starting right with your body, your sense of sight, your sense of hearing, your sense of proprioception, balance, right? Proprioception is your orientation to the earth. It's how you know and can keep track of directionality, distant things in the landscape. Many animals have it. Humans are good at it if you practice it. But it's not a well-known sense. To, you know, it's additional to the five basic senses. So indeed, it's the sixth sense. It's not, you know,
you in space, your awareness of yourself in space. If you're really good at sports, you probably got a good sense of that.
Sense of smell and taste, sense of touch. So he goes through all of these things and how to combine combine them for. Yeah, combine them. Little glitch in the show, and I'm reading the article.
Yeah.
But we're going to fix
the music wouldn't cut out. It was going, we're going to have a Hulk Hogan play for 3 minutes in the background, so I had to fix that. We're going to edit that for next week.
All right. Yeah. We're good. So combining the senses, it goes to that. Then it starts talking about areas of influence, your foreground, your midground, your background, especially in crowd and social environments. Very interesting stuff. It blends into, you know, tenants that are in espionage, tradecraft, and special operations type techniques. It's good to, or policing tactics too, and how undercover people do what they do. But how to observe scenes and sense danger faster, right? Observing internal changes, and there's actually a color code in here. You know, green, orange, and red. So kind of like the heat map, but a little bit. Only three stages. Exercises about how to deny your senses, take away your hearing, take away your sight, and then try to function.
So this is actually not just the theory behind it and, hey, this is important, this study says this. It's actually like how to improve yourself.
Well,
exercise. It does have like exercise number 5, decide to fight every day of your life. Number 4, measure your flight distance.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
So it's read for yourself, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a Holy Grail
senses,
and Bible
yeah.
type article, but I want to get that out there. It's self-awareness, self-defense related, and we talk about those things on the Patriot Power in addition to the news.
Yeah, well, if and when stuff hits the fan, you know, obviously the best fight is the one you avoid, if at all possible, especially when you know medical care may not be immediately available or would put you at a major disadvantage if you're injured. You don't want to fight the horde. You want to avoid them if possible. So sure, having that situational awareness could help.
So I went to a gun show last weekend.
Okay.
And semi-apropos to the topic at hand to segue a little, but you mentioned the word fight. I actually saw, you know, some of those places, they're selling guns and lots of weaponry and ammunition, but some of them are like T-shirts and bumper stickers and other paraphernalia like that. And I saw one that I'd never heard this before, and I'm not sure if you have, but the sign reads, "If you're going to fight, fight like the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, and it's starting to rain."
It's already got freaking, I got the boat's already floating, in my opinion. No, that's perfect sense. And yeah, we are just monkeys fighting for that spot in a way. I wanted to be that way.
If you're in a fight, that's the way, that's the orientation that the bumper sticker and.
Got to fight to win.
Yeah. Come to win.
If you can sneak on the boat, that's great. But if you're, you know you're going to be shut off, you got to do what you got to do.
So I have one other brainstorm I was thinking about today, and I was listening to some conventional corporate talk radio, but nevertheless had some ideas that intrigued me. This phenomenon, and I'm gonna lay out a scenario or a situation in the non-financial sphere, and I want to hear the bankster parallel to this exact thing.
Okay,
it should be pretty easy.
All right.
But it's this dilemma with the modern welfare state that the only way it can provide services is if the state is immune from civil suits, because you can't sue if I don't feel as though I was defended properly after September 11th. We should have won the war in Iraq. Right. I'm going to bring a lawsuit because my safety was harmed. That's absurd, right? You can't sue the government. But if the government's rendering services like healthcare, government doctors obviously would never do that job and take the pay cut if they were open to malpractice suits.
Right.
So as soon as you socialize or nationalize or governmentalize or basically wipe out private market in an industry, the single provider, the government, that can't function if it can be sued, right? And go to hardcore Soviet style, you know, Leninist, Stalinist, you know, governance, obviously is the subjects of those communist regimes, and even so in China today, you can't bring suit against your
government.
They
needed a daytime lawyer to fight for their cash now, but they didn't have one in the gulag.
And it seems to me that there's this massive push from statist progressives to constantly bring about a situation where we got to put the government as the entity of last resort that guarantees all and it can't be sued for any mistakes it made. I've given you the socialized medicine phenomenon and why it's so important to reject socialized medicine. What could or already has happened on Wall Street and in the Treasury and the Fed that you see as paralyzed, that demonstrates this same kind of phenomenon. You can't have a government render services and make it suable because everybody will line up to sue it.
Right. I would say first one coming to my head would be too big to fail, and bailouts of the big banks are too big. Like, we know they messed up, but we can't sue them, i.e. cause them to go bankrupt and liquidate them and spread the assets or have that pay off some debt or whatever it is. Can't do that. It would destroy the economy. They're too big to fail.
So the bailouts are essentially the same.
Socialized banker.
Yeah.
That wasn't the first step, and it won't be the last either, but that is definitely a big step in the kind of social takeover, socialist takeover, or just you know, I think your word for it is the perfect one. Statist progressives.
It's constantly progressing the state.
Yeah. Statist progressives and totalitarianism. Those are two of my favorites.
I'll tell you, I am here on the 64th episode to incite dissidents and rebellion against the supremacy of the state.
Yes.
Okay.
No, we can agree on that.
And there is a guy in China that just went to jail for 12 years, and the charges that the communist Chinese court used against him to jail him for 24 years is inciting revolt, or that's maybe a little strong word, but inciting people to reject the supremacy of the state.
Kind of undermining confidence in the state or something.
12
like
years
that,
behind bars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it'll get out if it gets brainwashed and maybe gets.
That's what being an American means.
Exactly.
If you listen to the song coming into this segment, it ain't a wrestling joke song. It's it's actually, we aren't like the rest of the world. You gotta be grateful for
right.
it.
If you're from the rest of the world and you want to be a badass American, actually fight too, come on in. But we don't want none of the freaking pansies to come in and just freaking go along to get along.
You
like
better be able
did
to stand up to a
country.
Government that's going on.
Exactly. If you want to do that, come join the pirate ship. A lot of fun. All right, guys, we're out of here. End of the final episode of July, but we will be back next Monday. Special time.
That's what we're doing.
For same time, actually. It'll be 8 p.m. It will be next Monday.
All right.
Put it in your calendar, August 5th.
It means there has to be news between now and then.
Oh, there will be. You got a lot of other topics to cover. Come on, you're supposed to help me end strong. All right, guys. Have a good rest of the week. We'll talk to you in a few days. Patriot Power Hour out.